In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, the fourth Sunday of Great Lent, the Church asks us to meditate on the memory of our Father among the Saints, John Climacus, who was the abbot of Sinai back in the 6th, 7th centuries. And, of course, we know that today as St. Catherine's Monastery on Sinai. It wasn't St. Catherine's then, but it is one of the oldest monasteries in existence in the Orthodox world and has a very venerable history to it, being the place that, of course, Moses saw the Lord in the burning bush. And it's had a really glorious presence there ever since. But John was someone who he only assumed the abbacy of Sinai quite late in his life. And when he did, he was asked by another John of the monastery of Raithu to write some things down for the benefit of the brothers there. And right he did. And this is what he came up with. We now know it as the Ladder of Divine Ascent. And of course, this refers to the 30 steps that are to be mounted and ascended in our spiritual lives. Now, we know the icon of this, which is sitting right here. Everyone has seen this icon. And it's a little disturbing, I will admit, because even these guys up here at the top about to ascend to the Lord get pulled off by some of the demons here. And that is something that people see and they think, well, my goodness, you know, you mean you can go that whole way and then lose everything? And the answer is, yes, you can. You don't fall back two steps or something like you're playing Candyland or something like that. You know, when you fall off of that ladder, you're gone. You're down at the bottom. You're starting again. And so the Church offers this to us this day in order that we may take our faith more seriously. Because after all, we are in Lent, and this book is read in monasteries during every great Lent. And some people read parts of it, they think, oh my goodness, I can never do this stuff. I mean, I just can't do it. And, you know, I'd have to answer that, and I'd say, well, have you tried, first of all? And secondly, everything in this book stems from the two commandments the Lord gave us that he deemed the most important, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Everything in here comes from those two commandments. So why the little necessities that we find in here and the little intricate things regarding the spiritual life might be something that most of us simply cannot attain because we're not living the type of lifestyle that this book presumes that we would be living, because it was written for a monastery, and not just any monastery, but a monastery way out in the desert. Well, even so, there's much in here that we can garner from it. Because as we see the, you know, the little black demons here pulling the people off the ladder, you know, should first of all indicate to us that this is indicative of our entire Christian lives. Demons try to pull us off the ladder, don't they? They get in the way all the time of so much. Even in today's gospel, there was a man whose son had been plagued by a demon ever since childhood. So back then, they got in the way. Here, they get in the way. Here, they certainly get in the way. And in our lives today, they definitely get in the way. And we might think, well, wait a minute, though. You know, that looks so obvious. What are these sins that these guys are getting pulled off, you know, of this ladder for? And well, you might think that it's something big, right? The big sins we always remember. You know, those haunt us. We think of the things, the mistakes we've made in our lives that are really egregious. and they stick with us. And they should stick with us because they're important. But it's the smaller sins that this book really deals with that we should pay more attention to. And one of them that I was going to read today, but actually I put it into your bulletin as well. And it's from step 24, on meekness, simplicity, guilelessness, which come not from nature, but from conscious effort. Okay, in other words, if you feel like somehow your personality is such that you are naturally meek, naturally guileless, well, that's no credit to you. Because St. John clearly indicates here, which come not from nature, but from conscious effort. And if you look in your bulletin today, you will see something that says that, and this is a very important one because it's one of the ones that gets most of us most of the time. Meekness consists in praying calmly and sincerely for a neighbor when he causes much turmoil. How many have dealt with that? And when we talk about neighbor, too, we're not talking about the guy that lives across the cul-de-sac, okay? We're talking about anybody, anyone in your family, anyone at work, anyone you're dealing with on the phone when you're calling up trying to check on that insurance claim that wasn't filed properly, anyone here in this parish, anybody at all that gets in the way, that causes you turmoil, what is your reaction? Is it to take on the assumption of meekness and guilelessness, or is it to raise our hackles up and get really perturbed about this and start blaming other people for things? Or do we take it as it comes? Do we understand? Do we recognize that our meekness consists in praying calmly and sincerely for someone who might do this to us? Well, the answer is probably in most cases no. Probably not. Because that is something that, well, it enervates us, doesn't it? The idea, first of all, of just being calm when someone does something that really causes us turmoil is bad enough. But the idea of praying for that person can be even harder. Yet that is what we are called to do. And so you see, these little things can have a very great effect on us and can wake us up to all the temptations that we incur in our daily lives. And that is just, oh my goodness, this is just step 3 or verse 3 in chapter 24 in this particular book, which has 34 verses in it. And if you count up all the verses that are found in this book, there's thousands. But they're all very pointed to aspects of our spiritual life, which, if we want to stay on this ladder, we need to be paying attention to. Because like the Lord says, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not just mouthing it. It's not just saying it. It's not just pretending somehow that by uttering the words that God is going to accept us. No. The Lord demands, as He says in virtually every page of the gospel, He demands real, concrete, genuine change in ourselves. That we are to become Christ-like. And you can't become Christ-like by ignoring everything that St. John says in this book. It is difficult. It is a challenge, certainly. But that's what our lives are all about, my dear brothers and sisters. If we're not becoming Christ-like, what are we doing? We're just counting the days of our mortality. That's all we're doing. We go from here to here. Nothing changes. We're gone and that's it. No. God wants much more from us than simply riding through life, skating through life, trying to get by. Don't we hear that so often? Well, I'm just trying to get by. Well, don't try and just get by. Try to ascend. try to reach into the heavens, try to reach for the hand of the Lord at the top of this ladder, who is reaching out and blessing all of us. That's what we want to do. That's what Great Lent is telling us to do. We spend this time trying to awaken ourselves to God, trying to be more aware of the things of God by looking inwardly into ourselves, by looking inwardly into our neighbors, by refraining from judging them, by refraining from complaining about them, by examining ourselves so that we can see clearly the things that we need to do to become more Christ-like. It's vital, absolutely vital, that we do this. When we get to Holy Week, that's something altogether different. Holy Week is not the time when we're purifying ourselves, when we're looking to ourselves, when we're trying to go up this ladder. Holy Week is the time that after all of the purification, we experience the suffering of our Lord. We are with Him every day of the week. We are with Him when He is unjustly accused, when He is nailed on the cross, when He is buried. We are with Him at that point. We are experiencing what He experiences in order to obtain the glorious and completely unutterable magnificence of His resurrection. Holy Week is different. That's why Holy Week is not part of Great Lent. Sure, the fasting continues, but it's not part of Lent. Lent has ended at that point. And now we have two more weeks. Two more weeks to try and awaken ourselves. As a pastor and as all the pastors that I know, we have to be very much concerned about the spiritual state of the people that we shepherd, the people that God has given to us. And so you hear me say things like, well, come to confession, come to the services. I say that all the time, don't I? You hear it, you think, oh Lord, He's saying it again. He's saying it again. But that's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do, because I have to give an account for my own stewardship of this parish and every parish I've ever served. All the people that have ever come into my purview, I will have to give an account one day. That's why the, you know, people that don't have a lot of sense become priests. That's why St. Martin of Tours tried to avoid it. He went and he hid. And there were some birds or something that made a noise, and they found him that way and said, gotcha, buddy, you're coming with us. That's why St. John Chrysostom wrote 6 books on the priesthood when he said, avoid this if you possibly can. Don't do it. There's many other saints, priests and bishops, who will tell you that, who tried to avoid it. But that's why they were saints. Okay, the rest of us, we're not thinking that day when hands were laid upon us. And so that is the job. That's why it's important to incessantly remind you of these things, to call you to awake. Because the priest's job, he wants to get all of you to heaven. He wants to see everybody in heaven. So you can see each other, even though you probably won't see him. But that's a very important thing. And that's why St. John's Ladder comes into play, because if you open it and read almost any page in here, the first thing you realize is how far you are away from the top of that ladder. In some cases like mine, even the first step, you're far away from that one. But it's important to wake up, to take these things seriously, to come to church, because this is where the powerful prayer occurs. This is where the genuine worship of God occurs. It doesn't occur at home. As important as your private prayers are, they pale in comparison to what happens in the congregation. And so you should do that. Confess your sins. Unburden yourself. I've said it many times. There is no spiritual growth without confession. It is impossible. If you never come, how in the world can you expect to ever get into the kingdom of heaven? It's vital to do these things because it requires a constant spiritual checkup on yourself. And that's what the Lord wants from all of us. Any page of the Gospels, my dear brothers and sisters, any page of the Epistles, you will read the same thing. To awaken to God, to desire His company, to become more Christ-like. So I encourage all of you to do it. Again, we have 2 weeks left. Good effort can make up for the 4 weeks that have already gone by if you haven't been doing anything. It's not too late. It's not too late. So read the latter. Everyone should read the latter at some point in time. I usually read it during Lent. This Lent, I didn't. I'm going to read it during the Paschal season this year because the Paschal season, for me, is probably more dangerous than Lent because we let down our guard and all kinds of things happen. But read it during the year. Read just parts of it. Dive into it. If you don't have a copy, everybody should have a copy of this. Just look into any of the chapters and read just a few verses. Every day, read a few verses. It will change your life if you're paying attention to it. It absolutely will. But let's all be strong now for these final 2 weeks before we get to the wonderful weekend of Lazarus Saturday and Palm Sunday when Great Lent has ended. And then we walk with the Lord for that wonderful, horrific, soul-saving, and completely and unutterably beautiful Holy Week that leads us finally to the resurrection of the Lord. Amen.